Well, excuse me. With the title of this section being There Is an I in Team After All, I'm just wondering who all are my fellow I's in the room? So I wanted to just celebrate us in this time period. So, all right. I'm just kidding. That won't be the what I focus on. But one thing I found in my few short decades of life, and you've probably experienced this too, and it just feels like a lot of life's series of events help us become who we truly are. And so today, what I'm sharing with you is just a story, snippets from my life, and how I've seen that come to be. So it was in eighth grade that I first stepped into the office with my dad. It was over the summer, and I just did an internship. It was a lot of shredding unnecessary papers, creating order and filing systems, but mostly just learning how to shake a hand, have a business conversation with somebody, and how to show up on time. That summer, I was given one opportunity to sit in on a client meeting, and I thought it was really neat. I thought it was fascinating how you could take something very practical as money and apply it to somebody's life and see them moving forward. So after the summer, my dad had said, you know, Liz, you might be really good for this job. You might consider going this direction. And I took the bait. And in high school, I took classes for that. In college, I went to Mount Vernon Nazarene University and got a degree. And then after college wrapped up, I started with my dad and his company, Pleasant Wealth. And one of the first things I did was take a DISC assessment. And I'll show you what it was, because I still have it. Make sure these are in order. It was this. It remains this today. So you'll see my D is just a little bit above the line, kind of a raging I, a little bit lower on the S and the C. I didn't know much about it, but I did know that I actually failed the DISC assessment. I had a bad score, because at the same time, and this was before my mom had her training and she was not involved with this part of it, but at the time, the person that had given the DISC assessment was sharing with our team, and there was somebody else on my team that had 4 above the line, and I only had 2 above the line, and I did the math. 4 is more than 2, and therefore I was a lesser human being than the other person on the team. So, of course, I didn't know what that meant. Having 4 above the line is not necessarily a healthy thing, but that kind of colored my picture of me and my job. It made me feel like a lesser person in the office. But also, as I stepped into the role, the first role that I had was an administrative assistant, not an advisor. And so I brought what a typical, if you would see, kind of a cookie cutter idea of what a good administrative assistant would look like. This is the chart. So you'll see a low D, a low I, a high S, high C. Now, I'm not saying that I'm opposite of that by any means, because as Rita has already said, everybody has a little bit of every type of on the spectrum. However, it wasn't necessarily a hand-in-glove type of fit, pun intended. My last name is Hand. Okay. but I did notice that my priorities, I did the job that I needed to do, and it gave me the foundation of where I'm at today as an advisor. But my priorities were not always in the right place, let's say. I'd go a little bit rogue on my tasks. So my job was to process the paperwork, the transactions that needed to happen. Sometimes I'd rather just spend the time on the phone with the client, getting to know them and, you know, bonding that relationship, which is a good thing. And I'm supposed to follow a lot of processes and procedures, which is all well and good, but I don't really want to read that from a book. I want to talk to somebody about how that's done so that I can implement it. And you know what? I have just enough directiveness in me that I kind of want to change the processes anyway. So some great things happened in that time period. We developed some early stages of our regular client communication cadence. We shifted to a more conversational quarterly letter rather than a stodgy, let's talk about what the stock market did this quarter. Paperwork flowed through the office at a pretty decent pace because I was very task-oriented, and our revenue grew. But some really difficult things happened too. So one time, Ellis and another advisor were getting ready to go to a 401k review, And I started the process. I didn't click through to the end part of the process. And what happened is that Ellis and the team member got to the meeting, and he didn't have the business owner's review ready, nor about 10 of the employees. Needless to say, the team was not pleased, and I, too, was pretty down and out about my performance. Additionally, another time, I was processing an account opening where client wanted to put money in for their grandchild, and I had the starting of the process, but then I got a little distracted with the marketing because I really like marketing. And so I had pulled out that file, and it was on my desk, and then I got a client call, and then, you know, the day kind of got away from me. And as I was wrapping up the day, I put everything back in the folder, back in my drawer, didn't need to talk about or go through my marketing materials for a while, and I could not find that check for the life of me. Could not find it. So I was the one that had to call the client and say, "I'm really sorry, I lost your check. Can you put a stop check on that and reissue another check? Oh, and please still trust me." So this is a time of my life that was really hard. I was in a seat on the bus that was not mine. And it really made me question whether I was even competent enough to be in this industry as a whole. And that's where DISC comes in being really helpful, because I was using the wrong tool to measure my success. If we understand what the job responsibilities are and that the person is not the best fit for that job, it is not necessarily the person, but maybe a shift in roles in the company. So, the self-perception of what I had to be during that time period, right here. So my D had to drop, and I felt like I needed to raise that S. I was compensating for what I felt had to get done. And I could do that for a short period of time, but long term, I'm not going to be happy in that position. So with this section of our conversation being, maybe there is an I in team after all, maybe you've heard that statement of, there is no I in team. For me, it was used in sports, but also in kind of a family context, where how I perceived it was that my needs as an individual are not as important as the team as a whole, and therefore I need to push down any needs for whatever I need to do so that the team can get where it needs to go. And what, as we were discussing this as our team and what we wanted to present to you today, we thought that really that's not what it means to be a team, that there is an I in team, that each of us fulfill a specific job and a specific role, and it's the diversity in our team that makes our teams really strong. And so if I'm not functioning in my strength, the team is weaker. So that time period of my life was pretty dark, and I felt like a lesser than kind of professional. But as I stepped into more of an advisor role, which would align pretty closely to where my DISC profile would be, I did notice that my job satisfaction started to climb. And that, coupled with, you know, I got a couple of degrees and designations, I received some coaching, and so nearly 10 years into the job, my personal understanding of who I am as a professional woman, the sense of calling, is all kind of coming to one point. It feels really good to be doing what I'm doing. And I've also, I can see that in my most natural state, in my just being who I am, I fit the job, the seat that I sit in. And I fit it pretty well, if I can be so humble. And even further, as we're all in business, you know, the point is to make some revenue, right? And to do that, you have to find your niche, where your traction is. And so taking that a step further, not only now am I sitting in the right seat on the bus, but I have to know what my niche is. And I found a niche that really applies, and I get a lot of traction with, by being who I am. Because if I'm being somebody else, I'm not authentic, and I am not serving the client best, and they are not going to be able to reach their goals in the same way that they could. So as we talk about being an I in a team, there's three things that I think are important. The first is to advocate for what you need, to know yourself, to know your boundaries and help protect, self-protect yourself. Self-protect yourself by creating those boundaries. So for me personally, as far as what I need to advocate for myself, I am a yes woman. I like new ideas, and I like applying my energy to new ideas. So I need the boundaries of saying no. I need the boundaries of saying I am going home at 5 o'clock because I have kids that I need to get home to. I am not working on Friday so I can be at home with my kids. Those are some boundaries I've created to protect my family. Number two is to surround yourself with diversity. Stop hiring people just like you. We are kind of a narcissistic society. And so sometimes when we are in the hiring process, even I have said this to my brother, and he said, yeah, everybody wants to hire someone exactly like themselves. So just remember the fullness that a team can provide by having some diversity in it. And number three is to delegate those energy taxing activities to someone whose energy levels and abilities suit the task best. So one thing, being a yes woman, I will make my schedule way too full if it's left to me. And so one measure to protect myself and to delegate is the scheduling piece, because I know that I am not, if my hands are on assigning somebody a time on my schedule, I will be very out of energy by the end of the week. So we adopted a piece of technology. It's a schedule once, or Calendly, as some people have heard it before. But that just, it sets up rules that I can only have so many meetings a day, there has to be so many minutes between my meetings, so that I am not running myself ragged. So I'm going to circle back to that, those three items again. But I do want to be clear, because I did talk a little bit about hiring. I know we talked quite a bit about hiring when Ken was up front. And there is a danger with DISC to hire to a profile. And I think that's where people really cringe. For anybody in the room that hates personality assessments, my husband would be one of those, does not like them. They box you in, right? And so if we're hiring to a profile and I don't fit that profile, but I might be actually be good for the job, that's a problem. So while I don't like that idea, I do think that DISC or another personality type of assessment just gives you common language as a company that you can talk about the dynamics within your company. So I know that Ellis, I'm going to call out my family here. I know that Ellis is a high I and S. And so when he leads, he's going to lead with a heavy emphasis on relationship, and he's going to tend to be more collaborative rather than decisive and directive. He will prefer to just allow the day-to-day tasks and details to fall upon the team. This has played out really well with certain business moves that we've had and helping us retain relationships in a really sticky situation. That is Ellis's superhero move, we'll say. But does this mean, because he allows the day-to-day tasks and details to be handled by the team, that he is not able to dig into technical analysis of economic trends? No. And I know Clinton, he has a high S and C, so I know that when he wants to gather all the information, he wants to make informed decisions and not rush too quickly. This has played out really well as we have added advisors to our team and transformed it into a business with profit and loss statements. Does this mean Clinton can't change pace mid-meeting when a client throws a curveball? No. And I know for myself, I enjoy working amidst frequent change in a job where I can be independent and have quick decision-making. But does this mean I can't do repetitious processes like processing paperwork? No. I did that for several years. It's all about managing energy levels and understanding where's the best fit. So DISC is just a tool to give you the words to talk about the dynamics in your business in a common language. It allows you to advocate for yourself, to give grace to yourself, to maybe put brakes on yourself when you see yourself moving too quickly for the betterment of the team, for the group, for the family. And so as I close, I think we have a couple of minutes here. Oh, no, we don't. So you will just ponder this on your own. I think you should write this down for yourself. What is the task that you do best in your day-to-day? And what is the task that you need to stop doing? Ask yourself if you have enough diversity on your staff. And if there's enough diversity, who is that person that you can delegate that task to? Or if you don't have staff, what is that technology piece that you can adopt? That's all I've got. Thank you for your time.